appreciated those verses that Brother Gunn read to us this morning. And shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, not finding thine own pleasures, nor speaking thine own words. That's my prayer this morning, that this is not my message, but God's message. I want to greet you this morning in Jesus' name. It's good to be here with you. Bring greetings from the church at Desert Rose. We're blessed to be here with you this morning. Also want to wish the mothers happy Mother's Day. And I don't have a Mother's Day message this morning. I kind of wish I did, but I don't. But I do have a couple verses that I'd like to read as an encouragement to you. They come out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. It says this: The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I just want to bless you, mothers, this morning for all that you do and for the role that you play, the influence and impact that you have on the church, that you have on our families, that you have on each one. So this morning for the message, I'm sure we all experience times where we struggle to know how to relate to people. We're faced with situations and we wonder how do we relate to these people. Times when we struggle to maybe have the proper perspective of people, or we struggle to view them properly. And just to help us think about this in very basic terms, if you think about at home in Hereford, we have a lot of slow speed limits on our roads, and like 45 mile an hour is fairly common. And so at times when you're in a rush, you are trying to go to the bank, get there before it closes, or you're running a little late for church, and you might be in a little bit of a hurry, and someone pulls out kind of right in front of you, and you know, just kind of putters along at maybe 44 miles an hour. And it's easy to, at times like those, maybe not have a good perspective of that person, or let your mind kind of go places where maybe it shouldn't. And maybe more importantly, like in the workplace, as we work with our coworkers, and they want to do things differently, or they do things differently than we do, and we struggle to appreciate them, and we struggle to maybe have a proper perspective of them as we should, and we struggle to value them. For example, if a coworker wants to spend, you know, the last couple hours of Friday cleaning the shop, and you're just swamped with orders, depending on what your perspective is on that, you might struggle to appreciate the other's perspective. Or at a brother's meeting, as we get together and we discuss things, we try to come to decisions about things. It's not uncommon for people to express ideas or thoughts that just leave us kind of wondering where that was coming from. Or you sisters might be planning something together, and you might come away from that wondering just what that sister was thinking. She just thinks so differently than I do. I don't know what it might be for you. You know yourselves better than I do. You know what triggers you and makes you get frustrated with people or irritated with people. It's those moments when you're tempted to just kind of think just duh about somebody. Think about those times. As we face these everyday situations, the way we respond, the thoughts that we harbor in our hearts, tell a lot about us. And it shapes the way that we are, it shapes the way that we view people, and it really defines us as people. So I'd like to think, if you think about Jesus, and if you can think of one word that would define how you believe that Jesus views people or how he feels towards people, what would that be? This is not a trick question. There's multiple right answers, but I'm just curious, what word would you put in there? If you think about how Jesus views people, what would one word be? The word that I have in mind is love, and that's a very basic concept. It's one of the most basic concepts of Christianity. It seems probably anybody that's familiar with Christianity or familiar with the Bible would agree that Jesus' love for us is one of our basic foundational beliefs. We sang Jesus Loves Me this morning. That's one of the first songs that we often teach our children. And probably for a lot of us, one of the first Bible verses that we memorized was John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The world has a very distorted view of love. And I think sometimes that influences us and how we love more than we think. God's love is very sacrificial. It's constant and present in every situation. I'd just like to turn to John 13:34. That's going to be our text this morning. John chapter 13, verse 34, says this, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." The ESV translation maybe makes it just a little bit more clear. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." So the idea here, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And that's the title of my message this morning, or the message this morning. As I have loved you. Jesus wants us to love others as he has loved us. He wants us to have the perspective. He wants our perspective of people to be the same as his perspective of us. Our view of other people as his view of us. And so this verse brings out kind of two questions. It says that ye love one another, so that kind of brings up the question, so how do I love people? Like, how do I go about loving others? And then it also brings up the question from the next phrase, as I have loved you. So how has God loved us? How does God view me? What does God think about me? What is God's perspective of me? So really, the answer to the first question is found in the answer to the second question. God loves me. If I can understand how God views me, how God loves me, then I can understand how I should be loving others. And I really think that it's important that we look at how God views me and what God's perspective is of me, because if we have that, if we have the proper perspective there, if we can understand how God views me, that will help us understand how God loves me. And it will help us have the proper view and perspective of other people, and that will make it easier and more possible for us to love them. So I'd like to look at a few points this morning. I've got five here in regards to how does God see me? How does God view me? What is God's perspective of me? And the first point I have here is he sees me as valuable. I am valuable to him. And we get, there's lots of scriptures we could go to get this idea, but a couple that I'd like to look at are Genesis 1, verse 27. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he him, created he them. So God created me in his image, and that's how he views me, and he created you in his image. And so if I can understand that I am created in God's image and you also are created in God's image, that can help me to look at you as someone that's created in God's image. It gives the idea of a respect. If we think about God, we should have a very high level of respect. And as people created in his image, each one of us, it doesn't matter if we serve God or if we don't serve God, we are all created in his image. And just because of that, every person deserves respect. And also in Genesis 2, verse 7, that says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So each one of us has God's breath breathed into us. We're breathing God's breath, each one of us. And if we can see that is what God has done for us and what he's done for each of you, that can help us in our perspective of each other. Each person is breathing God's breath, the breath that God breathed into each one's nostrils. And then also in Matthew 10, verses 29 through 31, we actually just sang about this. It says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father." And that gives the idea of without your father knowing about it. "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are much more value than many sparrows." So God knows when each sparrow falls. And he promises us here in this verse that each one of us has more value than the sparrows. He knows every hair that is on our head. It speaks of an intimate knowledge. And then also just thinking about God's love specifically for us, some verses in Romans 5, 6 through 10 say this, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son." So while each one of us was enemies of God, he loved us enough that he died for us. And that's how God views us. And if we can grasp that, that is how we should be viewing other people. With so much love that we would die for them, even for our enemies. I'd like to look at Psalm 139 as well. You can turn there. Psalm 139. This is one of my favorite passages that kind of gives the idea of how God views us. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. This is actually, let me see here. Well, I think I wrote down the wrong reference here. So I'm thinking of the reference where God says that he formed us in the inward parts of the womb, and that he knit us together in our mother's womb. Is that okay? Yeah, this for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which continuance in were fashioned when as yet there were none of them. That was one that I wanted to read, but there's another one that talks about, maybe it's a different version that brings it out, is knit together in our mother's womb. And just that idea, when I was about 5 or 6, my grandma taught me how to knit, and I probably couldn't do it now. It's been many, many years since I knit, but it's a very intricate thing. Like, it takes a lot of detail, and it's very detailed. And so the idea or the picture that gives us of God forming us, God spent a lot of time knitting each one of us together. And I've always, when I read that verse and think about that picture, for some reason my mind also goes to Legos. I played a lot with Legos when I was younger. And putting something together with Legos, it takes a lot of detail. You've got little pieces and you're putting them all together. And that's that picture. That's how God created each one of us, and that's how He views us. That's the amount of detail that He put into each one of us. And if we can keep that in mind as we view each other, that you are someone that God put a lot of detail into making, that will help me be able to love others much better. The second point I have here is He sees the heart. He wants to know me at a heart level. He sees and knows everything about us. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And also Jeremiah 17 says, "I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." And so this gives also the idea of a very intimate knowledge or relationship that God has or wants to have with each one of us. And that's how we should be looking at others and pursuing others, to know them at a heart level, to have that connection with them. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." God looks at our hearts because that is where everything else about us will come from. He looks at our hearts because He wants to have a connection with us at that level, at a heart connection. And we should be pursuing each other in that way. We need to search out each other's hearts. We need to know each other and have a heart connection. When we have that type of connection, it's so much easier to love each other. And this is probably especially true in a brotherhood situation or in a church situation. We should endeavor to know our brothers and sisters at a deep level, and that will help us be able to view them the way God views us. Third point, He sees me as a sheep in need of a shepherd, either a lost sheep in need of saving or a redeemed sheep in need of sanctification. So he views each one of us as sheep. He has a very tender heart towards us, either as a lost sheep that needs saving or as a redeemed sheep in need of continued sanctification, and in need of continuing to grow more like him, to become more like him. Matthew 18, verses 12 through 14 say, "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." That's how God views us. That's his perspective of us. And that should be what our perspective is of each other. We should be pursuing people. We should be endeavoring to bring that lost sheep back. John 10, verses 14 and 15 says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep." We should be laying down our life for each other. Jesus laid his life down for us. We should be doing the same for each other. It speaks of sacrifice. Number four, he sees us as his sons and daughters. And this is especially speaking of Christians in the church. He sees us as his sons and daughters. 1 John 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear that it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now are we the sons of God. If we can truly see ourselves as God's son and daughter, and recognize that that's how he sees us, that's how we should also be viewing others, God's sons and daughters. And this, in a lot of ways, it boils down to where we find our identity. And we talked about that a little bit in Sunday school. You know, the idea of playing church. Are we going to be real about church? Are we going to be real about being Christians? Are we going to identify as sons and daughters of Christ, sons and daughters of God? Or are we going to be kind of mediocre about it? I'm thinking about where do we find our identity? What is the primary thing that we are finding our identity in? Do I find my identity in being a father in the home, or as a son of God? And for you mothers, you find your identity in being a mother or in being a daughter of God. Each one of us will be more effective in the other roles that we have to fill if we first find our identity in being sons and daughters of God. I will struggle to fully know and understand God's love for me until I fully identify as his son or his daughter. Only then will I be able to truly understand God's perspective of me. First Peter 2, verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." As we think about identity, being God's sons and daughters, I believe that, you know, that idea is something that Satan attacks. Like that is something that he would very much like to undermine. He would like us to find our identity elsewhere. And when that happens, our love for each other starts breaking down. And I believe it happens in very small ways. Every broken relationship is a result of love not being exercised in small ways. There's a quote that says, "Even the greatest avalanche is triggered by small things." Satan wants to undermine this. He does it in very small ways that maybe we, at first, we don't even we don't even think that it's necessarily an attack on our view of each other, on our love for each other. And I think there can be times that we're going through hard times, and you know, things just aren't going right, things aren't going well. We might be experiencing loss in our life, and it can be, you know, financially or health. We can be experiencing the loss of a loved one, and at times, going through those times, it can maybe be easy to wonder or question God's love for us. God's love feels far away. And it can also be kind of the opposite. Maybe we're experiencing lots of good times. Things are going well for us. And life just seems like it's going very smoothly. And we, at times like that, it's easy for us to be tempted to think that God's love is shining especially bright on us. And I think we need to be careful with that, because God's love is not brighter at some times than at other times. God's love is constant in good times and in bad times. And we need to be careful not to think that because life is going well for me right now, that God loves me more than when things aren't going as well for me. So in thinking about God's perspective of us, it's important that we get both of those right. God's perspective for me, his love for me, does not change. It's constant in good times and in bad times. Point 5, he sees us as his temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And he's speaking about Christians here. And just once again, if we have decided to follow Jesus, if we have received him into our hearts, we are his temple. And if I can understand that I am God's temple as a son of God, God dwells within me. I am his temple. If I can understand about that about myself, it will help me to understand that about each of you. Each one of you is God's temple. And that can just really change our perspective. As we're faced with situations where we're struggling with a brother or sister, if we can view them as God's temple, I think that can help us, that can help our perspective. It can help us to love them the way that God loves them. A few statements that I'd like to kind of review here in closing is number one, it is important that we understand how God loves us so that we can in turn love others in the same way. If we don't understand God's love for us, we will not be able to love others in the same way. So that is the primary focus. We need to be studying that. We need to be growing in that, God's love for us. And to truly understand God's love for us, we need to have a proper perspective of ourselves and understand our need for him and what he's done for us. We should not use life's circumstances, whether joyous or painful, as an indicator of our value to God or his love for us. We should not use life's circumstances, whether joyous or painful, as an indicator of our value to God or his love for us. It's always the same. God's love for us doesn't change. He values us the same, whether we're going through hard times or good times. And then another thing, each of us has value not because of what we have done, but because of what God has done. That's another very important thing. It can be so easy to somehow think that the value that I have comes from something that I've done, that I do things so right, and that is why God values me. And that's not the way it is. God values us because of the choices that he's made. God's love is eternal and unwavering. Our love should be the same. The loss of love for people often starts in very small ways. And as we start to lose that love, our view of people starts going downhill. It's actually kind of like a cycle. As we start losing respect for people, as we start not valuing them the way we should, then our love starts kind of tipping downwards. We are called to love sinners and hate sin. Let's not mix the two up. We're called to love sinners and hate sin, not hate sinners. We need to have love like God does for all people. Let's not mix the two up. And yet still have a clear hate for sin. Going back to John 13. John 13, verse 35 says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." This is so important. This is how the world knows that we are his disciples, is how we love each other. And the way that we love each other needs to be the way that God loves us, the way that God loves each other. Let's stand for a word of prayer.